You know, tonight, I've just prayed that tonight would be such a powerful night. Not because of my preaching, because if that's all we're dependent upon, you can go ahead and leave now. Because without the power of God, nothing's going to happen here tonight. And I think God's already been moving. And God's already been speaking into us. I want to share with you, this past weekend, a group of men from this church went to three different prisons in Alabama. And we saw 75 men pray to receive Christ. Isn't that awesome? And you know what the challenge of tonight is? The challenge of tonight is, if you're in prison, I mean, there's no question that you are held captive. No question. I mean, literally, you're held captive. What is hard is preaching to people who are held captive, but somehow believe that they're free. Now, what holds us captive, that's the issue, and that's a problem. We were able to share with these inmates this incredible message of hope. And you guys have heard me say this 1,000 times, that God hasn't given up on you. And you know, if that's the only message I ever preach, I think it's a good one. That God will never give up on you, because I don't know about you, but I've been at that place where I wondered if maybe God was done. And what we're going to talk about tonight is dreams. And I remember being at a really difficult place in my life, coming off of some really stupid choices that I made in my life. Has anybody ever made any stupid choices in their life? Most of you. All right. I'll never forget somebody telling me, and I got to be honest, if you approach me and say, "Jamie, I have a word for you from God," it kind of freaks me out a little bit. Anybody else? Okay, just me. Well, it freaks me out a little bit, because I just wonder what God told you that, you know, why he didn't tell me. But it always freaks me out. But somebody came up to me one time. It was after I just made some really stupid choices in my life, with my life, choices that I kind of felt like, man, after that, you've got to be real close to the point of no return. Like, you know, you just keep on and keep on and keep on, and you just get close to that line. First of all, I don't believe there is such a line, but you, in my mind, there was a line, and I was dangerously close to it, where God was just going to be like, "Hey, you know what? I'm done. I've had it with you." And I thought, surely God's had it with me, because I had it with me. I mean, have you ever been in that kind of a pit? Where somebody said, "I'm sick of you," and you thought, "Man, not near as sick as I am of me." You ever been in that place? Man, it's a scary place. And somebody came up to me right on the heels of that. And I don't know if they knew. You know how when you do something really stupid, you think everybody knows? First of all, that's a lie from Satan. I found that people were just not near as concerned with me as I thought they were, you know? And somebody said, "You know what? You're going to preach the gospel one day." And I couldn't help but to get a real smart aleck grin, like, "If you only knew." But you know what? That was something that God had told me before that person did. And it was kind of a scary thing, but I got to be honest. There was some excitement about that. That God, you know, that God would want to do something with me and with my life. And there was some excitement about that. And I had felt that was a dream that God had given me. And when I thought that the dream no longer had any possibility, somebody came up and said, "You know what? You're going to preach the gospel one day." And you know what that was? That was just God saying, "Hey, Jamie, I'm not done. I am not done." The Bible tells us, in Genesis 37, and there's just four things that we're just going to look at quickly tonight. But the Bible tells us, and just probably 4 weeks ago, we talked about Joseph. If you weren't here, I'm just going to try to hit the highlights of Joseph's life. But the thing most people knew about Joseph is he was the favored son. The Bible says Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. I mean, he was already the favored child. The father made no bones about that. He gave him a coat of many colors to even differentiate him from his brothers. The father's way of saying, listen, I favor you more than the rest. And in this culture, that was huge. Because in this culture, who typically was a favored child? Come on, let's be interactive. The oldest. And personally, I don't know about you, I like that. I'm the oldest in my family. And this troubled his brothers greatly. I mean, he was the youngest, but he had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream. He said he was in the field. We were binding sheaves of grain when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. I mean, this is the dream that Joseph had. And one thing that is clear in the scriptures is God gave Joseph this dream. God did. He has another dream. And he told his brothers, listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the matter in mind. You see, Joseph had a dream. And the dream came from God. There was no question. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you have a dream? A dream that God has given you. And you know that it's from God. Listen, if you're a parent, you better have a dream. I have four of them. And I'm praying those dreams don't become nightmares. As my mom and dad told me, one of their dreams became a nightmare. And I said, I'm praying for my sister. This is what I told them. But a dream. My mom told me one time, doing some stupid stuff in my life. My mom said, you know what? You're going to be the man God wants you to be. And I didn't know what she meant by that. I thought it was just a motherly thing to say. I've pulled it out a few times, you know, to my two-year-old. You're going to be the man God wants you to be. What? You know? You have a dream that God has given you. No doubt this dream that Joseph had came from God. And as the story unfolds, his brothers resented him even more. And finally, it comes to the point that Joseph, his father sends him to his brothers. He goes out to his brothers and they see him coming from far away. And they said, you know what? Let's kill this dreamer. Let's be done with him. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine feeling that way about a sibling? And as I think about my four kids, I'm like, I can't imagine him feeling that way. And then I thought about my sister and I said, well, I mean, I can see that a little bit, you know. But Joseph had a dream that God gave him. And I made the point when I preached this last time, I made the point to say, I don't believe there was anything boastful in Joseph. I don't believe he told the dream as a precipitation for them to do what the dream said. I don't think that was Joseph's heart at all. And the reason I think that is as his life begins to unfold. And so one of his brothers comes to his defense and he said, guys, this is our brother. We can't kill him. And one of them says, let's throw him in a pit and then we'll sell him to some people and he'll be a slave. And the brothers agreed on that one. I don't know how much better that one is, but Joseph's life was spared. And he was sold into slavery. And immediately, in every situation Joseph gets put in, he finds favor with the people around him. One of the reasons that he finds favor, because I want you to know, when Joseph was given the dream, he was not given the understanding. Does that make sense? I think that would make sense to some of us tonight. I have the dream, but I don't have the understanding. Somebody told me, you're going to preach the gospel one day. I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand how that would unfold in my life, but I knew that was from God. And some of you tonight, you have a dream and you don't have the understanding. That's okay. It's not because you're ignorant. It's not because you're not spiritually in tune. Here's why. Because it's not time. It's not time. And I want you to know there's this huge thing with God called timing. And His timing is always perfect, because you and I know that the understanding for Joseph's dream would come, but it would be 2 decades before he would have the understanding of what that dream meant. So the first thing I want to tell you is this. The first thing Joseph did with this dream is he told it. I wonder how many of you have shared your dream with somebody else. And I tell you, tonight I just want to be biblical. So I'm going to say some things tonight, and they might sound a little bit weird, but I just want this to be biblical tonight. And all I can tell you, all right, because we're talking about a dream being realized, all I can tell you is that the first thing Joseph did with his dream was what? He shared it. He told it to somebody. You know, I had this dream. God told me this, and He shared it with somebody. Now, I want you to know, and you and I know, that when He began to share that dream, what was the first thing that it brought out of people? Resentment, jealousy, anger. Those are the things it brought out. But I want you to know, Joseph's predicament would not grow because of that resentment. It grew. The crises came out of the dream. It wasn't the resentment. And don't miss this in the Joseph story. Because you and I could have a friend just like Joseph. And all throughout this, I never hear Joseph say, "I hate my brothers. I can't stand those guys. I mean, I'm just doing the best. I can't help if my dad liked me the best. That's not my fault. That's his issue." And he wasn't complaining about it. He didn't complain about sharing the dream and then where it took him from there. And I want you to know that all along, it was the hand of God guiding him. Why is that encouragement for us tonight? Here's why. Because some of you have a dream. I hope that, I personally believe that all of you have a dream, that God has been revealing things that He wants from your life, that's been a part of it. And if you're here tonight and you say, "Gosh, I don't know that God's ever showed me anything like that," then I would pray. I would pray and say, "God, show me the dream You have for my life." You see, I believe every one of us began our existence in the hands of God. The Bible says that before we were formed in our mother's wombs, that God knew us. Isn't that awesome? That God knew us. That He created us. He formed our inmost being. God did that. You're not here by mistake. You're not here by accident. I mean, whatever the situations were. I mean, somebody was telling me they were struggling with the whole reason they existed. And you know what was at the heart of it? I won't tell you the story that I got, because I'd have to censor it here on Wednesday night. But basically, it was the circumstances of how they were conceived. You know what I mean? You're with me? Is that enough explanation? Good. And again, I'm not going to tell you. And that person shared. So listen, there's no way. There's no way. I said, no. God knew you. Before you were even in your mother's womb, God knew you. And if God knew you and God created you, do you think that God has a plan for your life? I mean, do you think this is a nonchalant God, that this is a lazy God, that this is a God that lacks administrative ability? No. When He created you, He knew exactly what He wanted from your life. Your life is not taking place by happenstance. Your life is not at the hands of somebody else. And please hear me. I want everybody to hear this, because I want you to know this is coming right out of the scripture tonight. Joseph could have blamed his brothers. "Man, I'm a slave now." He ends up in jail, and he could have been complaining all along. "If my brothers hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here." But Joseph never said that. In every situation he was put in, you know what he was? He was faithful. So the first thing is, I want you to share that dream with somebody. Even if you think it's crazy, I want you to share it with somebody. One of the guys at the prison was telling me that he felt like God wanted him to be a pastor. And I felt like when he told me that, he was just wanted to see what I say. Like, for me to say, "Well, you know, hey, I mean, listen, a pastor, I mean, you know, that's a big deal. And, you know, you're in here and, you know, you got to be holy to be a pastor." Oh. And I told him, I said, God, you mean God wants you to be a pastor down the road, or he wants you to be a pastor now? He said, well, I need to get some training. I said, no. If you're to be a pastor, then you're to be one right now, right here in this place. But you know what? I think he was legit. I think he was being serious. And I just imagine what other people had told him about that as he's in prison.
Oh, yeah, well, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, you know, stay away from the offering, you know. I mean, I wonder what people said to this guy,
you know, and how they would discourage the dream that God gave him. And I don't know that the young man, I don't know that the dream was from God, and it wasn't my place to tell him whether it was or it wasn't. But I did want to affirm, if God has told you this, then that's what you are to do. And you can do that. And then his whole attitude changed. You think so? He almost said it as a dare and a challenge. Tell somebody your dream. That's exactly what Joseph did. God gave him the dream, and Joseph shared the dream. The second thing that happens, and this is huge, and maybe this is where most of us, this is where we really struggle. Because the second thing that we see in Joseph's life is unconditional obedience. So he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. And the Bible tells us he's not there long at all. And what happens? He's put in charge of everything at Potiphar's house. Because here was Joseph's attitude at Potiphar's house. Well, I'm here and I'm a servant, so I'm going to serve Potiphar well. Why do you think Joseph served Potiphar so faithfully? I think Joseph served Potiphar faithfully because at the heart of Joseph's faith, that was the right thing to do. And Joseph did what was right. I'm here as a servant in Potiphar's house, and so I'm going to serve Potiphar. And let me help you. Sometimes calling Potiphar, Potiphar, we miss what Potiphar was. Potiphar, he owned the servants. He bought them. He took them from the place where they had been, and they had to work for him. That was their deal and their issue. And maybe you might say in some kind of a way, Potiphar, he was the enemy. I mean, if Potiphar was a good man, he'd have bought them and let them go, right? That's not what Potiphar did. But Joseph served Potiphar. And here's the second thing. With unconditional obedience. Unconditional obedience. God, I'm going to be obedient no matter the circumstance. I'm going to be obedient no matter how difficult it is. God, I'm going to be obedient. Why? Because God gave Joseph a dream. And Joseph believed the dream. He wanted to see the dream realized. And remember, he didn't have the understanding. He didn't know what that meant. He didn't know what the fruition of all that would be. And so until he had the understanding, Joseph was simply obedient in every place he was. And you know the story. Potiphar's wife decides that Joseph looked good. And she makes a pass at Joseph. And I love this part of the story. The Bible says Joseph runs so fast that she's left holding his coat. And I don't know what he was wearing under it, if anything, but he was gone. And you know what? You know how that's a great word for me and you? Because some of you here tonight, and the reason you're struggling with the dream God has given you is because repeatedly, maybe the same things keep creeping up in your life. I want to give you an example, and it may possibly be humorous, but I want to share it because it's real. So a lot of the shows that I watch on TV are related to people losing weight. Hey, this not even the funny part yet, all right? And so, like, I love watching The Biggest Loser. I was actually watching a program on TLC called The Half-Ton Man. And it was just a documentary of these people that were so obese, and it was really, for them, it had become life or death. And I was telling my wife all about it. We were on the cell phone. She was coming home from something. I was just telling her, man, this is so sad. You know, so when she gets home, I'm watching it. So she comes and watches it. And next to me, I have a box of cookies. And I think I told Pastor Keith, I said, you know, you have a serious problem. When you're watching a show about people dying from obesity and you get hungry watching that show. You think that's a problem? Now, I tell you. And just seriously, you know, unfortunately, because I'm up here every Wednesday night, you get to see me and some, you know, and sometimes I share with you some of my struggles. And so, one of the things I'm struggling with is this discipline in this part of my life. And it always creeps up. It's the same thing. It's been the same thing for 10 years. You know, and it's like, hey, you know, I'd like to be skinny. I've shared with you. I'd like to tuck my shirt in. I've shared all those things. We laugh about them. But you know what the truth is? It is so discouraging to me because it's the same thing over and over in my life. The same thing over and over. And I wonder what it is in your life. Maybe that same thing. It keeps creeping up. And you'll say, man, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to get past this thing. But it just keeps coming up. And you get discouraged. And finally, you can voice those desires that you have, that I don't want this thing to be in my life anymore, but all that's coming out are the words. Because in your heart, you're already defeated. In your heart, you're already beat. And I think one of the things we learn here from Joseph, as soon as that temptation comes up, I mean, he runs. Listen, notice, he didn't stop to pray. Like, she's not got her hands all over him. He's saying, Dear Lord, this could be a tough situation I'm about to be in. You know, he didn't do that. He didn't, you know what? He got out of there. And that's an encouragement. That's something that I take from this story. I mean, how do you run from a refrigerator? You know, but I'm trying to figure it out. But the point is, it's that discouragement. Man, here's the same thing. And it's whipping me again. And I think we have great encouragement for this. Listen, God has given you a dream. And that dream is going to be realized in your life. Tell somebody that dream. And even when you don't have understanding about what that dream means, have unconditional obedience in every situation you're put in. There's Joseph at Potiphar's house, and he's faithful. He's the best servant that Potiphar has. After Mrs. Potiphar, he gets put in prison. And guess what? The guy in charge of the prison puts Joseph in charge of everything. While he's in the prison. Why? Because he's being obedient. He's doing the right thing, even when he's in a place that's not great. He's being faithful. Here's the third thing. Joseph has divine grace. So we're going to fast forward 2 years later. You remember the dream? That his brothers would bow down to him. That his family would bow down to him. You see, somebody could have misinterpreted that dream as being a dream of power. One day, Joseph, this is going to be about you being more powerful than anybody else. But that wasn't the dream. You see, God knew from the beginning of time that there would be a famine in the land. God knew that. And God gave Joseph the ability to interpret the king's dream. And the king put Joseph second in charge of the whole nation because Joseph has a plan on how they can survive through the famine. And Joseph is faithful. That unconditional obedience. But that day comes when his family, they come before him because they're starving to death. And Egypt was the only place they had food. And so his family comes and they stand before him. The Bible tells us when they first come before him, they don't recognize him. It's been a long time. They don't recognize him. But Joseph immediately recognizes them. And you know what he's filled with? Divine grace. And what's the difference? What am I talking about? Divine grace. It is a grace that God will give you, but you have to be obedient in acting that grace out, in administering that grace. Because no doubt, if I talk about, hey, has there been anybody ever mistreat you? Every one of us have somebody that comes to mind. Every one of us. Maybe only a few of us have one person that comes to mind. Maybe you have several that come to mind. And part of this dream being realized is being able to administer the grace that was shown to us. A grace that was shown to us. I remember when I was a kid, there was these four brothers that lived behind our house. And the youngest brother used to beat the snot out of me all the time. And I did whatever I could not to have to go. When I saw him, man, I just turned and went the other way. I was scared to death. And I wasn't scared of the kid to beat me up because I could whip him. But I knew if I started to win, I was going to have three brothers on top of me whooping me. And I remember just for years, as a little kid, man, you just kind of builds up a fear in you of just getting whooped someday. And I remember years later, I ran into that kid, Joey. I don't remember very many people's names from where I grew up, but I remember Joey. And I ran into him years later. And when I saw him, you know, none of those other feelings came up. Like we were the same height, but I outweighed him by like 90 pounds or something. But that's not what welled up inside of me. I knew stuff that went on in their home. I knew stuff that happened to him. And it was like God just filled me with a divine grace for this kid. We're about 20 years old. I think at even one point, because he didn't know what to say to me, he's like, remember when I used to whip you by the heel? I said, yeah. But I was just filled with the divine grace for that kid. I could have been mad or mistreated him or said something. But part of the dream being realized is having divine grace. And remember, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving somebody something they don't deserve. That's grace. And no greater grace has been shown to me and you than what Jesus has done on the cross. I can't show a greater grace than what was shown to me. Divine grace. We're so out of time. So let me just finish. So his brothers come before him. He finally reveals who he is to them. I am Joseph, your brother. And you think this would be like a Jerry Springer moment, don't you? Oh my goodness. It's our brother. And they get scared and they're like, oh, what is he going to do to us? He said, listen. When you put me in the pit, when you did what you did, God allowed it to happen. God made all that happen so that I could save you. And he says, and I am going to save you. I am going to give you the food that you came to get. That was the dream. It wasn't about power. It wasn't that he would be mightier than them. It was a dream that there'd be a famine one day and his family would have to bow down to somebody so that they could survive. Their very lives were on the line and God chose Joseph. And everything his brothers did intending to harm him, God did to save them. Listen to this. So the ones who wanted to kill the dream, in the end, the dream was about the saving of their lives. And you remember Esther? Who knows but that God has raised you up for such a time as this. So the very people who resented your dream, the very people who have tried to stand in the way of your dream may be for the very saving of their lives. You need to tell somebody your dream. You need to have unconditional obedience. And then as the understanding comes with the dream, you need to have divine grace. Oh, and it will take divine grace. But let me promise you, God will give it to you. He will give it to you. And you know what the fourth thing is? The dream is realized. The dream is realized. And the very reason Joseph suffered everything he suffered was so that he would be in a place one day where his family would survive. His family would be saved. And Joseph was obedient to the very end. I want you to be encouraged as we prepare for a time of altar. I want you to be encouraged that it was his crises that actually led to the realization of the dream. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. God knows what they've done to you. God knows that. But be obedient in the meantime. When opportunity arises, have divine grace. And who knows but that God has raised you up for such a time as this. God created you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He formed your innermost being. And he has a plan, a dream for your life. I want to invite you to the altar tonight. Some of you are just struggling to even share the dream. You think it's crazy. You think it's absurd. Really, maybe you're thinking you've crossed that line I was talking about. You know, the one that doesn't exist. There is no point of no return. God wants the dream to be realized. So if you're struggling with that, I want to invite you to the altar. Some of you, you've shared the dream and you're at a place that's just tough. And you're struggling with that obedience. I want to invite you to come to the altar. Some of you are at that really hard place of administering divine grace. I want to invite you to come to the altar. Say, God, give me that grace because I'm not feeling it. And if you're here tonight, and maybe all this you've said, man, I've never trusted Jesus. You see, that's the beginning of you receiving the dream from God, is when you invite Christ to come into your life and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Let's stand together. The altar is open. I want to invite you tonight. You come.